Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining my session today. And we'll get started here real quick, but just a little bit of housekeeping, of course. Introduction, for those of you who don't know me. My name is Richard Hicks. I'm the Director of Sales Engineering for security appliance vendor Celestix Networks, based in the United States, but we do have offices here in the United Kingdom. And so we do a lot of work here in Europe. The title of this session is Demystifying Forefront Edge Security Technologies, TMG and UAG. This is a level 200 course, and I want to make that very plain and clear that this is a fairly high-level session. So if you were expecting technical deep dives into TMG or UAG, that's not what this session's about. This session is kind of an overview introductory into TMG and UAG. So if you if that was not your expectation, if you would like to leave, I would certainly not be offended at all. You or your employers have spent a lot of money to pay for this conference, and I would want you to get the most out of it. So if this is not what you were expecting, just to make sure that everybody understands and do a level set as to what the session is about. Now, the agenda for today's session, I want to talk a little bit about forefront protection technologies. In general, we'll talk about the forefront protection technology suite. We will, of course, talk about TMG and UAG and explain at the highest levels what it is and what they do. We're going to go over some very typical deployment scenarios, so how the solutions are typically deployed. We'll talk about the TMG features and the features of UAG, and in this case, what I want to do is give you a good understanding of what these solutions do, what they don't do, and where their overlap is, because both of these technologies have a little bit of middle ground that they share that causes a lot of confusion for many customers. So I want to make sure that you guys understand that very clearly. And then the last couple of slides, I want to talk about some deployment scenarios and ask the question, should I deploy TMG or UAG? And go from there. I think that's this session was born out of questions that I get on a near daily basis, is that there's a lot of confusion in the marketplace about which solution is best, which solution meets my needs or my requirements, and so I hope to give that to you today. What I expect you guys to learn from this session is a high-level understanding of the forefront protection technology suite and of course, a deep understanding of the capabilities and the features of both forefront TMG and as well as UAG. I want you guys to be able to describe the similarities and the differences between these two solutions. And ultimately, my goal is to help you guys identify which solution best meets your deployment requirements, not what the Microsoft field sales folks are trying to push on you or what they're incentivized to sell or your reseller. Ultimately, which one is going to meet your needs and your requirements. Before we get started, before we get rolling, though, one of the things that I have found in spending a little bit of time in Europe, and this is my first trip to mainland Europe, but I've spent some time in the United Kingdom, is that TMG and UAG have a little bit of a different market, I think, here than from the United States. Just a quick show of hands, how many of you have TMG deployed or work with TMG in your environments today? Just show of hands. So it's great. And let's show of hands just real quick, UAG. How many of you have UAG deployed? Okay, so it's a little bit opposite. Interestingly enough, in the United States, it's about the other way. It's about 60-40 TMG UAG versus TMG. UAG seems to be more widely deployed there for some reason. So obviously, I'm very close to TMG and have been working with TMG and its predecessors for more than a decade, so that warms my heart when I come to a country or a region that is widely deployed TMG, so that's great. So a little bit about the forefront protection technology suite or stack. The forefront protection suite is a group of technologies or a group of products from Microsoft that are security or protection focused. In the server protection space, we of course have a forefront protection for Exchange, forefront online protection for Exchange as well, a forefront for SharePoint, as well as forefront protection for OCS and Link. In the identity and access space, of course, we have Forefront Identity Manager. And actually, going back to the server protection, just a note, we used to have the Forefront Endpoint Protection technology, which is now a part of System Center, so it's System Center Endpoint Protection. But identity and access, of course, FIM, Forefront Identity Manager, is a part of this suite. And then last, and the ones that obviously we're going to focus on very closely today, Forefront Threat Management Gateway, or TMG, and Forefront Unified Access Gateway, or UAG. So what is Forefront TMG? So obviously many of you have this deployed, so you obviously know what it is, but for those of you who don't, and just to do a level set for everybody else, Forefront TMG 2010, or Threat Management Gateway 2010, is an integrated edge security gateway. First and foremost, it is an enterprise-class firewall. It is Common Criteria certified to level EAL4+. It has a very long and proven track record of being a very stable and very secure firewall, and judging by the wide deployment, you guys get that intimately, I'm certain. It does function as a proxy server. It does provide both forward proxy, or outbound proxy, and reverse proxy, which is inbound proxy services for web and non-web applications. It does this on top of the firewall, and I think this is an important distinction to make between some competing products. Many of the products in this space are simple proxy servers, and they don't provide any real firewall-type protection, and I think that's what sets the solution apart, is that it is a firewall that also provides proxy services, and I think that's an important distinction. It does have the ability to serve as a web content cache, so we have the ability to cache frequently requested web objects, store them in memory and disk on the system. It also functions as a VPN server, or a virtual private networking server, providing both, or supporting both remote access VPN, which is your typical mobile device, laptops in a hotel or offsite, where you need to dial back into the corporate network to get data or information, and site-to-site VPN, which is where we of course connect two networks over the internet. So in those cases, it supports both of those technologies. It does so using standard protocols like PPTP and L2TP over IPsec. With regards to site-to-site VPN, it does have the ability to terminate site-to-site VPN sessions with non-Microsoft devices. So as long as the terminating point or the other side of the tunnel supports IPsec tunnel, which most solutions do today support that. It could be a checkpoint, Cisco, it doesn't really matter, Juniper, what have you. As long as it supports IPsec tunnel mode, you can establish a site-to-site VPN with the TMG firewall. It can be deployed in all of these roles or any subset of them. So for example, in many small and mid-sized organizations, they may choose to deploy a single unit or a small cluster and use all of these technologies. And I've done that on more than one occasion where it's been used for outbound web proxy, reverse application publishing for something like SharePoint or Exchange. They're also doing content caching, and they also use it for remote access VPN. And they have a site-to-site tunnel established to one of their business partners. So that's fairly common in the small to mid-sized space. In larger organizations, they tend to break these services out, and so we find that they tend not to have like all their eggs in one basket for that. Forefront TMG, of course, is the successor to ISA Server 2006 and the ISA Server line of products. The product for this iteration has undergone a name change, so it is now Forefront Threat Management Gateway, and I think that the, and you'll see later, I think that the name is an excellent identifier of what the capabilities are of this solution. ISA Server was a great proxy server and firewall, but this is a much more balanced solution. It comes in two editions, Standard Edition and Enterprise Edition. The functionality of these editions is effectively the same, with the exception that Enterprise Edition gives you centralized management and clustering capabilities. But the protection that the firewall affords is the same in Standard and Enterprise Edition. So let's talk a little bit about Forefront Unified Access Gateway, or UAG 2010. UAG is a little bit different product in that it is a dedicated remote access gateway. It provides SSL Web VPN capabilities, so its primary function is SSL VPN web portal. I like to relate to people when you call Forefront UAG an SSL VPN, it's a bit like calling a Bugatti Veyron a sports car. It is accurate, but it doesn't fully describe all the capabilities of the solution. So it's a pretty complex and it's a pretty fantastic solution, and it's capable of doing just about anything that your imagination can dream up. It is a dedicated reverse proxy, so there are no outbound capabilities in UAG. It is purely remote access and remote access alone. It does have some support for client access VPN. So in that case, it does have a couple of capabilities that allow you to basically provide layer 3 network connectivity over SSL VPN. And that's necessary for some applications, as we'll talk about a little bit later. In addition, it also functions as a direct access gateway. For those of you who are not familiar, direct access is a always-on remote access technology that first appeared in Windows Server 2008 R2. It was a feature of Windows Server 2008 R2. And there are some enhancements to direct access that come along with the forefront UAG gateway. So there's some compelling reasons to deploy it in a direct access scenario, and we'll talk a little bit about those later. The forefront UAG 2010 product is the successor to Microsoft's IAG 2007, or Intelligent Application Gateway 2007. IAG itself was actually a product that was acquired by Microsoft from Whale Communications many years ago, and so it is. It actually has a fairly long track record as well, but as far as a Microsoft product, this is just the second iteration of the solution by Microsoft. So let's talk a little bit about some common deployment scenarios for each of these. And again, these are very typical. Forefront TMG, we see that it is most often deployed as a secure web gateway. The features and functionality of TMG are really centered around providing a high level of protection for your internal clients when they're going out to the internet to access internet-based resources, websites, and things like that. Forefront TMG does provide remote access, as we talked about, but the remote access capabilities are fairly basic. So just a heads up on that. And we'll compare and contrast that with UAG a little bit later, and you'll see that UAG offers some additional benefits in the remote access space. Forefront UAG, again, as I mentioned before, is a dedicated remote access gateway. Essentially what UAG does is it takes one of the roles of TMG, the remote access role, and it turbocharges that. UAG is really centered more around application publishing, and I contrast this with TMG. TMG is more of a network security device, and it's about establishing or controlling network connectivity. Forefront UAG fundamentally is more about the applications. Instead of providing full network layer connectivity to your remote access clients, we're going to give them access just to the application that they need. Inherently, that is a little bit better security posture for you as an organization. Again, with regards to providing advanced remote access capabilities, it does serve as a direct access gateway, and there's some compelling reasons to deploy it for your direct access deployments that we'll talk about in the next couple of slides. At the very highest levels, you can think of TMG and UAG in this respect. A Forefront TMG is really designed to keep the bad guys out of your network, and the Forefront UAG is designed really to let the good guys in. Make sense? So let's talk for a minute about the Forefront TMG firewall capabilities. Of course, the TMG firewall provides stateful packet inspection like any other decent firewall on the market does today. It also provides deep application layer traffic inspection, and what this means is that all of the communication that it looks at, it will look at it not just for the simple things like source, destination, protocol, and port, but it's going to look at the application layer data stream to make sure that bad things aren't going on there. For example, there are a number of filters that are designed to provide application layer traffic inspection. For example, one of those being the HTTP filter that is designed to look at traffic that's coming in over TCP port 80 and make sure that it conforms to the RFCs. All the traffic that comes in over TCP port 80 must be RFC compliant HTTP. Now, what that means is if a user, either by design or maliciously, decides to tunnel a non-web-based protocol over port 80, the HTTP filter will identify it and block it, so it has the ability to do that. You as the administrator, of course, can look at things in the application layer data stream and make access control decisions on that. I could allow some user agents and not others. I can look for a particular string in one of the headers or in the body or so forth, and make decisions based on that to allow it or deny it. So there's some strong deep application layer inspection capabilities that come along with that. I think one of the main advantages of the TMG firewall over many other products today is the fact that it's tightly integrated and intimately connected with Active Directory. It provides, it has the ability to provide transparent authentication for our traffic using NTLM and Kerberos. And if you install the Windows firewall or the TMG firewall client, you have the ability to authenticate not only web-based traffic, but all of your TCP and UDP-based communication as well. And I think that's an extremely powerful point, is that I have the ability to, for example, grant access to users to maybe a remote Citrix server, but they have to be in a particular group to be able to do that. I don't have to control them by IP address. I can just simply say you have to be a member of this Active Directory group, and then you can go out to the site. If you're not a member of that group, then you can't access the remote Citrix server. And I think that's extremely compelling. With regards to intrusion detection and prevention, there are two IDS-IPS mechanisms in TMG. There is a behavioral mechanism and a vulnerability mechanism. We'll talk in the next slide, I think, about the vulnerability-based intrusion detection. But TMG does a fantastic job of not only protecting itself from attack, it also does a fantastic job of protecting your clients on your network from protocol-based attacks as well. Again, so we talked about Forefront TMG commonly being deployed as a secure web gateway. TMG has a number of advanced web protection capabilities that make it excel at this particular role. The first is URL filtering. Now, URL filtering itself, pretty compulsory for any secure web gateway product. It's a feature or capability that's fairly commoditized. Many years ago, URL filtering used to be a big deal. Today, pretty much everybody can do it. URL filtering in TMG is included because it's kind of the first level of defense. If we know the site's bad, block the site and don't allow our users to get to it. So it's basically reputation-based access control. In particular, TMG uses an online database for the categorization. It's the Microsoft Reputation Services, and it seems to work fairly well. In addition to that, of course, one of the challenges that any URL filtering solution faces is the fact that it's statistically impossible, of course, to accurately categorize or even just categorize at all of the websites on the internet. Your users are going to get to a website that is not categorized or is just hasn't been categorized at this point, and so we need to decide what we're going to do there. In addition, you may be going to a perfectly reputable website that has recently been compromised. So due to a SQL injection or some other attack, there's malware on there, and this perfectly reputable site is now serving up malicious software. And you need additional levels of protection in the perimeter, in the gateway, to protect your clients and provide that protection for you. TMG includes an integrated virus and malicious software scanning engine that is designed to prevent file-based attacks. This is basically the Microsoft malware engine that's in Forefront Endpoint Protection and Microsoft Security Essentials and so forth that's integrated into the firewall, and so that as your users are downloading files, if there's anything malicious in those files, so for example, if a user attempts to download a script from a website that's malicious, if it's a Microsoft Office file, perhaps it is a PDF or a Shockwave file or something like that that includes some bad code, the scanning engine could detect and block that as well. Now, that's great for file-based attacks, but we also see that there are a number of attacks that are leveraged against the protocols themselves, most often against known vulnerabilities in the operating system or the applications. And the Network Inspection System, or NIS, is designed to prevent those types of attacks. It is a very low-level protocol inspection tool that functions not unlike a network capture driver that's looking at all of the traffic and looking for signs of bad things going on. It is signature-based. The signatures are developed by the Microsoft Malware Center, and they are released concurrently with security updates on Patch Tuesdays. Now, what this means to you is that when Microsoft, of course, on Patch Tuesday announces to the world that they have vulnerabilities in their applications or operating systems, there is an exposure window between the time they make that announcement and the time you get your systems patched. When Microsoft announces those updates, they will concurrently release signatures for the inspection system that will detect and block, in most cases, those types of attacks from happening. So you close that window down to basically nothing. It provides a high level of protection for your clients. It means that you don't have to do the fire drill of patching systems in an emergency basis because there was a vulnerability in IE or the networking stack or something like that. So it does a really good job. Also provides a way to protect our non-managed clients or systems that just haven't been patched. So it does a fantastic job of extending the protection for our clients on our networks. The last capability that I want to talk about is HTTPS inspection. So HTTPS poses a challenge for any application layer firewall in that HTTPS, of course, encrypts the application layer data, so we can't inspect it. Poses a real problem because malcode authors and a lot of criminals have decided that this is an easy way to circumvent our access controls and also to sneak software into or data out of our network. So the HTTPS inspection mechanism allows us to terminate and decrypt outbound SSL communication, so we can apply all of our protection mechanisms to that. Essentially, what HTTPS inspection does for us is it eliminates this SSL blind spot and allows us to apply all of our protection technologies to all of our traffic going through the gateway. So let's do a quick demonstration of some of those capabilities. Let me log on to the site here. Actually, let's do this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just very quickly log into a Windows 7 client that is behind a TMG server, and we'll kind of demonstrate some of these capabilities for you here real quick. So in this case, I have a TMG server protecting my network, and if I need to go to a basic website, if I could type. If I need to go to most websites, I can get those. Those are allowed by policy. I can get to websites that are not being blocked by my policy. So I can get to most of these sites at will, not a problem. But if I attempt to go to a site that is blocked by policy. So, for example, I want to go to a gambling site during work hours. Of course, that's not permitted by policy. The TMG server recognizes that and blocks it. Of course, I have TCP port 80 open outbound, but the firewall is intelligent enough to realize that this category is not allowed, and so it's going to block that. In that case, there may be some sites that are kind of in the gray area. So there may be times when, for example, I want to go to a website that perhaps shouldn't be allowed, but I don't want to prevent my users from getting there entirely. So what I can do in this case is I can set an access rule that blocks it initially, but gives the user the ability to override that if they wish. I can throw up some warning message here and say, hey, listen, this site probably isn't a really good idea to visit today during work hours, but if you feel it's really important, by all means, go ahead, click on the override access restriction, but we are logging this, and if we believe that it's inappropriate, we'll be contacting you. So you have that capability. So that's URL filtering, fairly straightforward. Again, as I had mentioned, there are times when we're visiting a website and we may end up with downloading a malicious file. In this case, if we attempt to download a file using TMG, that's malicious, of course, the scanning engine will quickly tell us, hey, listen, this file has been blocked, and it's been blocked for this reason. So it gives us some information here and some feedback to the user. In this case, the user might call the help desk. This is fully customizable, by the way. You can certainly put those numbers in there if you wish. Just to quickly demonstrate the network inspection system, there's a test URL that we'll use here. For example, if I was to go to a site that tried to take advantage of some vulnerability in my application or my network stack or something like that, the network inspection system would identify that, and as it's done here, and it also kicks back an error message, and it will say that there's an error code 502, but it will indicate that the traffic was blocked by an IPS. So again, high level of protection for your clients. So if this particular vulnerability or this particular exploit was trying to leverage a vulnerability in my operating system for which I was not patched, If I would have gone to the site, I probably would have been compromised. But in this case, the network inspection system is looking out for me. It detects and blocks those types of threats. Oh, last thing I want to show you, I forgot, is the HTTPS inspection. So for example, if I go to a site, that is protected by SSL, what you're going to see here in the lower right-hand corner is that I'm getting an indication that my traffic is being inspected. And I've done this because I have the firewall client installed. The firewall client allows the TMG server to signal the client and say, hey, listen, your traffic is being inspected, and if you don't like that, then certainly opt out of that. Also, you'll notice that if I look at the certificate on this website, you'll see that the certificate was issued by the TMG firewall, not necessarily, in this case, by Bank of America. And that's by design. It's basically a trusted man in the middle. TMG issues its own certificate on behalf of the website so that it can terminate that SSL session, decrypt and inspect that traffic. So essentially, no more hiding bad stuff in SSL. Really common in that scenario, of course, is proxy avoidance. Many of those tools that are designed to avoid proxy servers actually break when you enable SSL inspection. So that's a great way to fend off those types of things. Great, so let's talk for a few minutes about the UAG server, the Forefront UAG. Again, this is an SSL VPN, dedicated remote access solution. It has a number of different capabilities that are important for us. First and foremost is the web application portal. We do have support for non-web-based applications as well. When I say web application portal, basically if you need to get to any of your applications, you log into a website and you can click on links to your applications and get them from there. Again, as I had mentioned before, it does have some legacy remote VPN access capabilities. So we do have a way to provide low-level network connectivity using the SSL VPN, so you can support that in some level. I think one of the hallmarks of UAG is the fact that it does provide fine-grained access control. So I can control access not only based on the username and perhaps Active Directory group membership, but I can change access or grant or allow access based on the device type and the status or the configuration of the individual device logging into the system. And it does that using endpoint health detection. So it has the ability to interrogate and query the client for parameters of how it's configured, and then you as the security administrator can allow or deny based on those types of settings. And a perfect example, and one that I'll demonstrate later here, is that, for example, and this is fairly common, today, we probably fully trust our users, and we trust our users if they've authenticated, right? So if they're in the correct Active Directory group, they've supplied their credentials to log into the portal, that's great. I trust user Bob. However, if he logs on from his home machine that he shares with his kids that's running Windows XP RTM and doesn't have a firewall on it, I'm pretty confident that this machine's probably owned. There's a high degree of probability that this machine has viruses and things on it, and I probably don't want it accessing my corporate network. But I do have the ability to still allow Bob to remain productive, even on that machine that doesn't meet my particular requirements, by changing the access level, not just simply allowing or denying, but perhaps reducing. And I'm going to demonstrate that for you in just a minute. The last capability that is important with UAG is the session cleanup tools. And this is extremely important in a lot of sectors like finance and healthcare and things like that that have some strong regulations against data protection, is that when you are on a UAG session, on a remote session, and I'm logged into a SharePoint site and I've downloaded or clicked on a link to an Excel spreadsheet, it opens in Excel on my workstation, and I'm looking at this spreadsheet contains sensitive data. If I were to close that out and close out my browser window or even log off, if this was just a SharePoint site connected right to the internet, there's the chance that that file is still in my temporary files folder on the disk of my system, and that presents an avenue for data leakage. With UAG, what happens is that when I close this out, there are some components that are installed on the endpoint that securely erase any temporary files from the session. So you have 100% confidence in knowing that there aren't any temporary files that have been left behind that might contain sensitive data. So let's take a quick look at how UAG works and how it differs from TMG. With UAG, again, we will log on to a portal. And what we're going to do, the first thing you're going to see, it happens fairly quickly here, is that you will see it's going to be doing some session or some detection logic here. Hopefully you'll see this if it goes a little slower. So it's checking for device compliance. Before I can even log on, it's going to query my system to determine some things about it. If my system is, and again, this is user-defined or administratively defined, if my system doesn't meet those requirements, I might not even want the user to log into my portal if it's so bad. But in this case, I want the user to log in, so I'm going to go ahead and log in. So I've logged in, I've authenticated against Active Directory in this case, and it's going to give me my portal or my menu of applications. Now this is administratively defined, so I might see a different list of applications than other users. You control this entirely as the administrator. There may be applications for which I want administrators to see, but not non-administrators. Perhaps I don't need to see the time the expense approval portal because I'm not in management, so I won't see that, but you know, department managers can see that. The nice thing about this, of course, is that I have all these applications and I can add and subtract them as needed. If I deploy additional applications that need to have remote access, I simply add them to the portal. The portal is still the same URL. The users don't have to remember additional URLs. And this is a perfect example. So I have a couple of different sites here. So I've got a SharePoint site. I have an Exchange OS site and things like that. If I'm publishing these with TMG, I have to publish each one of them on their own URL and sometimes on their own IP address. So for example, I can get to IIS. Let's see here. Using TMG, it's protected with TMG. I could get also to my mail. So it should take me to another login page. And of course, you notice that it's using the Outlook look and feel. If I need to get to my SharePoint with TMG, again, it's another URL. So every time with TMG, every time I bring an application online, I have to share with my users a different URL. Users have to remember which URL to use. Oftentimes that can be problematic and it results in help desk calls. With UAG, it's just a portal. They just have to remember one, portal.yourcompany.com, boom, I have my applications. You can add, subtract as you wish. Now, again, as I'd mentioned before with UAG, one of the things that we can do is interrogate the endpoint and determine what configuration it's in, and then you, the administrator, can make changes based on that. So let's say, for example, and this is a very, very typical scenario and one that I'll demonstrate for you now, is that I have a fully managed corporate laptop. It is up to date with the latest service packs and hotfixes. It's running the operating system that I manage. It's running the firewall in a configuration that I want. It has the antivirus installed and it's up to date. So you are a fully trusted endpoint and you're a fully trusted user, so I'm going to allow you to access the customer information and look at all of this just as if you were on the internal network. So for example, I have some customer data here, and I'm looking at sensitive information. Maybe these are medical record numbers, or maybe they're banking information or something like that. In addition, I have some proprietary, highly sensitive, highly confidential information about a product that I'm working on. I don't know what it is, but we'll say that if you're fully trusted, you can do that. Now, just to kind of demonstrate how this works, let's say I log into this system now with a system with an endpoint that is not in my desired configuration. So in this case, so this is funny because when I set this up, I was doing this in the privacy of my own home lab. Now I realize that I'm on the same network with guys like Marcus Murray, playing with viruses and worms and stuff. And Paula Janashevitz's session yesterday, and she was playing with Stuxnet. So I hope when I do this, because I'm going to turn my firewall off, I hope that they were on an isolated network when they were playing with their malware. So hopefully I don't get owned here. So let's see here. I'll turn, in this case, I want to turn my firewall off. And you see the firewall goes off. And in this case, I'm going to go ahead and log back into the portal. You'll see that, excuse me, you'll see that I'm going to get the login prompt here. And I can log into the portal just as I did with my fully compliant workstation. So this machine is out of compliance. So I can still let my user be productive. They can get into the portal. They can access their applications. But I do have some areas that I don't want them to access, or that I want to reduce the access level because their machine is in a state that is less than desirable, let's say. So let's go back to this customer information portal. And we'll click on this customer data. And what TMG or what UAG has done in the way I've configured this is had, since your machine doesn't meet my device requirements, I'm not simply going to deny you from accessing this data. However, I'm going to mask it. And so what I've told UAG is to basically redact this information. I've created a script in UAG that says, if you don't meet these requirements, you can't see all of the data, but you can see some of the data. So I'm going to just basically give you the last four numbers. This allows my users to be somewhat productive from a non-managed machine, but it also saves me, the administrator, that hassle of knowing, you know, I know that my data is protected. So in this case, it works quite well. In addition, I may have areas that I deem highly sensitive, and if you don't meet my requirements, then I want to absolutely deny you access. So this is very sensitive data. The only way you're going to see it is if you are fully compliant. And now if you are not, I simply can deny your traffic. So you can see within the same session, I have different levels of access there. In addition, a couple other capabilities. If I want to have an area of the site that just simply requires additional security protections, there is something in here in UAG called trusted endpoints. So for example, if you log on with a username and password against Active Directory, that's one level of access. But there may be other areas that are very sensitive that require additional levels of access, like a step-up access authentication, and you have to log on with a certificate or a smart card or something like that, or have a machine certificate on your workstation to be able to access those. So let me very quickly get back here and turn my firewall on. Okay, I hope I'm cool. So you can see with UAG, it does application publishing just like TMG. It just does it with a little more granularity and with a little more detail. So I have the ability to check endpoints. I have the ability to more easily modify or alter information that's going to the client. The capabilities within UAG with regards to data modification and some of the things that I've shown you there are nearly infinite. It's limited really by your imagination and your programming skills. There's not a lot of things that UAG can't do. As a matter of fact, most often than not, when somebody asks me, can UAG publish X? The answer is almost always yes in some way. There's always some way to do it. So just a really, really incredible product, but certainly very in-depth and detailed. So let's talk for a moment about direct access and Forefront UAG serving as a direct access gateway. Direct access is a feature of Windows Server 2008 R2. You can deploy direct access today without Forefront UAG, but it has some fairly steep infrastructure requirements. It does require things like IPv6 to be running on your internal network, which is not many people have that today. When you deploy UAG as your direct access gateway, of course, we reduce a lot of those infrastructure requirements. When you deploy UAG and it serves as your direct access gateway, it does not require any IPv6 on your intranet. So that's important. It also requires no other changes to your infrastructure. You don't have to have Server 2008 or R2 domain controllers or DNS servers. The only box that needs to be Server 2008 R2 is the Direct Access Gateway server itself. Now, the advantage, I think, with UAG with regards to direct access is that it includes some transition technologies that allow the direct access clients, which always talk IPv6, to talk to your native IPv4 only resources. The UAG includes the DNS64 and the NAT64 transition protocols. Those are a part of UAG, so if you're deploying Windows Server 2008 R2 Direct Access today, strongly encourage you to deploy Direct Access as the Direct Access gateway, and that way you get these capabilities and you benefit from those today. In terms of scalability as well, it's much improved with Direct Access because Server 2008 R2 Direct Access is limited to failover clustering, so it's basically active-passive clustering. With UAG, we can create network load balanced arrays, and so it's active-active. It allows me to scale out much more efficiently. Very common deployment scenario today that we see with Direct Access in Server 2008 R2 is that the customers will often create a two-node cluster with a very specific set of servers, and at some point they exceed the capacity of those. The first one falls over, the second one comes up, and it's out of capacity as well because it's the same box as the first one. So you have this yo-yo effect. Real challenge, and of course more difficult to scale because it means that I have to build another box, add it to the cluster, and then fail over to it. It's a real challenge. With network load balancing in the UAG clusters, I have the ability to create active-active clusters, and if I run out of capacity, I simply slide one more node into the cluster, join it to the array, and now I have that additional capacity. So it works much, much more efficiently, certainly, than Server 2008 R2 and failover clustering. So, the magic question, when should I use TMG, when should I use UAG? Well, there are some fairly clear-cut deployment scenarios that where the answer is very black and white. For example, if you need to use outbound access, TMG is it. Again, UAG provides no outbound access capabilities. It is the dedicated remote access solution. So if you need to do any outbound access control whatsoever, TMG is the solution of choice. If you need to establish a site-to-site VPN, again, TMG is the solution of choice there. Now, let me take one quick second, just talk a little bit about UAG. UAG, when you install UAG, includes TMG. And this confuses people greatly because they think, hey, great, I can open the UAG management console and use it as my proxy server or establish a site-to-site VPN to my business partner. That may in fact work, but what I will tell you is that it is not supported, and it is going to be highly problematic because UAG owns the configuration of TMG. When you make changes in UAG and you apply and activate those changes, it makes changes to TMG and it will overwrite some of your changes potentially. So it's going to be a real challenge, obviously not supported, and the support documentation is fairly clear on that. There's a couple of scenarios in which you are allowed to go into TMG and manipulate it, but more often than not, you're not supposed to touch it. So just a heads up on that. Also, with regards to legacy client VPN, you can do this somewhat in UAG, but with TMG, it's much better. And when I say legacy client VPN, I'm talking about the VPN client that's built into the operating system, just the dial-up networking components there. They tend to work a lot better with TMG. TMG supports PPTP and L2TP over IPsec, where UAG does that using SSL and TLS. What we find is it sometimes tends to be a little bit more efficient with TMG. Now, with UAG, if you have the requirement to publish your applications with a single URL, obviously UAG is the solution of choice there. Again, as you saw earlier, the UAG's web portal is fantastic. I can add and remove applications, present applications to different users and so forth, so it's fantastic with that. If you have requirements to provide granular access control, so for example, if you say, I want people to be able to access my SharePoint, however, if they don't have virus running or if they're out of date or the firewall's off or something like that, then I only want them to be able to access certain portions of my site, or I may want them to be able to access the SharePoint but not upload or download files. I can do that with UAG. I cannot, of course, do that with TMG. So UAG is the solution of choice there. Also, with regards to the Direct Access Gateway, if you're using Direct Access in any fashion or form, UAG is the solution. TMG has absolutely nothing to do with Direct Access. So TMG has the ability, basically, to just bypass IPv6 traffic, and that's about the extent of it. But other than that, if you're talking about Direct Access, UAG is the solution of choice there. Now, the decision of whether or not to use TMG or UAG in a particular scenario often comes down to considerations of licensing as well. These two products are licensed fundamentally in a very different manner, and it's something important that you should understand upfront when making your decisions. TMG is licensed on a per-processor basis. Now, in Microsoft licensing vernacular, processor is a socket. It doesn't matter how many cores, just how many sockets. So if I have a dual processor system, could have 2, 4, 8, 20 cores, it doesn't really matter. As long as it has two sockets, I need two licenses of TMG Standard or Enterprise Edition. The only CAL that's required in TMG is the Web Protection Service Subscription Client Access License. This is a license that allows you to get to two technologies, that is the URL filtering and the integrated virus and malicious software scanning. So access to the URL filtering database online and access to the updates for the signature updates for the scanning engine for TMG's malware protection both require the Web Protection Service Subscription CAL. That is per user or per device per year, and is, again, not included with TMG's processor licenses. Now, UAG is a little bit different in that UAG is licensed per server. Microsoft doesn't care how many servers, cores or sockets, or they don't really care. You buy one license for the server and you install it, but it does require, and it is mandatory, that you purchase client access licenses for everyone that will use the UAG server. It is not concurrent, unfortunately. It is named user or device, and it's per year. So if you have 5,000 users who may use the system, but you only have 500 concurrent, you still have to purchase 5,000 licenses. In addition, just a word of a caution about the external connector license for UAG. UAG is designed to provide access to, again, our named users and devices. If we are publishing an anonymous website, for example, it's just my corporate website, or maybe it's just a website where my external customers or external people, general people, need to get access to some information on that site. I can do that with UAG, but since they are not in my Active Directory, then I need to purchase the external connector license. And again, this is required for anonymous access. The external connector, however, I will warn you, is prohibitively expensive. I believe the cost of this license is around $20,000 per server. So if you have a 4-node cluster, you're buying 4 licenses. So what I would tell you is if you have any anonymous access, please use TMG because it's per processor. It's going to be infinitely less expensive than buying an external connector. So just a heads up on that. In addition, the Enterprise CAL, or the eCAL, which many larger organizations have, includes a couple of licenses that are important to us. The eCAL includes the TMG Web Protection Service Subscription Client Access License, and it also includes the UAG Client Access licenses as well. So what that means is that if you're from a larger organization or agency, you probably, if you have the eCAL, then you own these licenses and you can deploy these technologies today without having to worry about the licensing. So let's talk a little bit about some scenarios here. So publishing Exchange or SharePoint. In this case, TMG and UAG are capable of publishing both of them, right? I can publish TMG with Exchange, and I can pre-authenticate my users using forms-based authentication. Authenticate them against Active Directory and so forth. So I can do that securely, and it's a very secure solution. I can also use UAG, but again, the advantages with UAG application publishing are that I have the application portal, so I can publish multiple applications, and of course I have granular access control. So I can allow full access if your machine is compliant. If it's not compliant, I can choose what to do. Limit your access, block your access, those types of things. In addition, there are some performance considerations that need to be taken into account with regards to TMG and UAG. The capabilities of UAG are fantastic, but they are not without some penalties in regards to performance. It takes a lot of processing power on UAG to do all of the things that it does. We've had a number of customers who've said, hey, I like TMG for my application publishing, but I want to take advantage of the advanced capabilities of UAG, so I stand up another identical server, I put UAG on it, and I I put my user, swing my users over to, and it falls on its face. Well, the reason for that is because UAG is much more demanding on resources. So if you are preparing a server or a virtual machine to use for UAG, I would encourage you to, of course, be very generous with your hardware requirements. So that's it. This is a really quick, short session. Again, very high level, very introductory. But, of course, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to take those if you want to just come on up. But you can find me all over the internets. I'm on, I blog at a couple of different places, the tmgblog.richardnix.com for a lot of TMG stuff. Also doing some direct access blogging, which is fairly new. Great technology that I really, really like. Always on VPN is fantastic. Also, if you've not been to any of the sessions about direct access in Server 2012, I would encourage you to visit any of those because there's been some significant and substantial changes to direct access as it relates to the latest operating system. Of course, you can find me on the Twitters and the Facebooks and the LinkedIn as well, so I'll leave this information up for you there. Also, last thing I would say is please fill out the online evaluations. Those are extremely important to us. Gives us an idea of how we're doing, where we can do better. So that's essential to us as well. So thanks, everybody, for attending, and I appreciate it. Have a good time.